All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, October 31st of 2024. It is Halloween. Happy Halloween to all of you out there. We have a Thursday night football NFL showdown tonight. We have four-game NBA slate. Over in the NHL streets, we have a seven-game classic slate over there, and then we have a single college football showdown tonight as well. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim, and this is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel on our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. Heads up, there will be no Office Hours tomorrow. I will be attending the Dodgers celebration parade. You know, big Dodgers fan over here. Got the 2020 memorabilia. Maybe we can get some access to the new 2024 World Series memorabilia. TBD on that. But super excited about the Dodgers winning the World Series and going to go enjoy the parade tomorrow. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up here and let's jump into some questions. Quick one here from Scott before we get questions from the Discord. Scott asks, where can we see an overview on how to properly use the platform? Great question. So the easiest place to go is to go to the top right corner and then go to this help. This will open up our support library. This video is our most basic walkthrough of how to use the app. I'll drop a link to it here. And from there, we also have what we call Saber School. So up here in the top right, it'll show you how to use the app. So you go up here. One of the best videos, in my opinion, you go over to SaberSim 101. This, A Beginner's Guide to SaberSim, a SaberSim walkthrough, is the second best video, right? So check out this support video. Check out this Beginner's Guide to SaberSim, and those two should get you pointed in the right direction. Scott said, thank you. You are welcome. All right, so let's get some questions in here. We will start with the questions that came in the Discord. And then jump over to the live YouTube chat. So it looks like first question came in from Kelvin. And then we got a few questions here from Black Mamba. And we'll keep it rolling. And then one other note for you guys. No build review show tomorrow. But I do want to do this show. So I'm going to do the show on Saturday. So I'm moving the build review show from Friday after office hours to Saturday after office hours. So the build review show is going to be Saturday at, I believe, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. So heads up there. I'll make sure that those times and stuff get updated in the Discord. And that way everybody can get their reviews in. I know I've been adding some people to the list from this week, so I don't want to wait. I don't want to make people wait until Monday. All right. Looks like we have a ton of questions today, which is good stuff. I know there's a lot of sports going on. All right. So let's get rocking and rolling. We'll hit this other one first here from YouTube. I'm just going to go down the list. Hi, what do you think are some of the specific tweaks that the top players do to continually outperform others using the same sims? Good question. I think that, you know, one of the best ways to do this is to find value, right? Find spots where you can add value to the sims. The sims are good by themselves, but there's always going to be situations that are inherently hard to predict, or where there isn't a lot of information or data, or where something is happening short term that is very, very different from what is going to happen long term. So, like, some good examples, right? I actually think the Texans are a great example tonight, right? This is their first game all season without both Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs, right? Now, the builder is going, you know, our model is going to distribute. However, this situation has not happened before, right? And models are built using data, right? The more data it has, the more accurate data it can put out, right? The more accurate the projections can be. So today would be a really good day to spend extra time looking into, you know, Houston and trying to figure out, hey, how do I actually think this is going to play out? Who do I think is going to get the targets? Are these fantasy points distributed correctly, right? And you're looking at, you know, they're three wide, like John Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson, Robert Woods. Like, how is all of that going to play out, right? The builder kind of plays it safe here, right? We're seeing that, you know, Mechie, Hutchinson, Woods are all within like one fantasy point of each other. Do you think that's how it's going to work out? Do you think one of them is going to play better than the others? One of them is going to, you know, get more targets, right? There are things you could do, right, to kind of make your best assumption here. And the builder plays it a little bit safe because it kind of doesn't know, right? So I think that there are ways to add value, and you got to figure out what those ways are, and you got to, you know, do some additional research, right? I talk about this like a lot for NBA. That's where I spend most of my time. I've done YouTube videos talking about that and trying to, you know, improve projections for situations that I deem uncertain, right? So those are good ways to do that. All right. Next question. When I fill my lineups for NBA, my contest sims have close to 100% ROI. Less than 30 minutes later, when I rebuild, the ROI is already negative 20%. Is there any way to prevent something like this from happening? I don't know if this is a continuation. Hold on. I want to check something. I want to make sure this isn't two different questions, because it looks like two different questions. There is a second part here. Okay, yeah, this is part of it. Maybe tons of players see the positive ROI in certain lineups. So it's a little bit hard without like seeing it myself. I will say that, you know, I think that sometimes people do overestimate, you know, how quickly like their lineups or a lineup could be dead, like could not have a chance to win first place. Right. I mean, we saw it like two nights ago in NBA where Paolo Banchero had passed his projection for the game significantly by halftime. Like I remember I looked at it. It was halftime. He had 57 fantasy points and his projection pre-slate was 43. And he had just like a massive day. Right. Like if your lineup does not have Paolo Banchero at that point, like your lineup is probably not going to win like 100%. And, you know, and then depending on how owned he is will also affect the cash percentage of your lineup, right? Only the top 20% of lineups are going to cash. And I think he was like 8% owned. Well, you know, that's almost half of the cashing field has to have that player, right? So I think that can happen. It's going to depend on player performance early in the games. And so I would say what you're seeing is like not probably weird, but what I would avoid doing based on this is I would, you know, I'm somebody who like recommends, and I use this myself, a ROI greater than zero filter pre-slate. I do not use that for any late swaps, basically because I just want the best available swap possible. And then if that is going from negative 20% to negative 15%, I will take it, right? If you use a ROI greater than zero filter pre-slate and post and in late swap, you might just not end up swapping enough lineups, right? If there is not an available swap because of a filter, you're going to get stuck with the original lineup. So don't think there's a ton you can do there, but those are the things that I'm thinking about and the ways I would be going about it. All right, this is a follow-up question to the question I asked yesterday. I was using Beta SaberSim to build my lineups, and I don't see that remove pool option. Do you know if that's an option in beta? I use the recommended method of using direct fill by selecting one contest, filling my best lineups by ROI, and then unchecking that contest and repeating this process to fill my lineups. In all of my contests, I noticed that I had one lineup in five different contests. Is there a way for that one lineup to only be used once versus it being used in five different contests? Okay, I do remember this question. I am not 100% sure if it is in the beta or not. I mostly do this show based on like app.sabersim.com because I don't want people who don't have access to the beta. I don't want this information to be irrelevant to them. So the office hours is always run on the production app. The best place to check, or maybe even possibly the best place to ask this question, would be in the beta feedback channel in Discord. If you are not, or if you are exclusively using beta, I do know how to do this in the app.sabersim.com, but it's possible something changed in beta. So what I would do is I would probably copy and paste your question into beta feedback, and somebody there can definitely answer your question. All right, if I wanted to do a custom metric that compares my own versus adjusted own, and for that metric to favor players where their my own is higher than the adjusted own for that player, how would I go about doing so? So what I would probably do is do a custom column first that is basically my own minus adjusted own, and use that as a variable in a custom metric. However, I don't think you need to go as far as doing this in general, because adjusted ownership is kind of doing that, right? Like, what adjusted ownership does is it looks at a player's ownership, and then it looks at their range of outcomes, and then it says, does this player basically pay off this ownership enough of the time? And if the answer is yes, then their adjusted ownership is going to be very close or less than their actual ownership. If the answer is no, it is going to be higher. Now, it is easier to see this effect in a sport like NHL or MLB, where player range of outcomes are not as normally distributed and a lot wider. So if I go to NHL for tonight, I just go to the highest owned players and I go and I look, Ricard Raquel, 29% ownership, 40% adjusted ownership. So basically what the builder is saying is like, hey, this player's range of outcomes is actually a lot wider than we would be comfortable with. You know, if he, like we could change his ownership, right? If his ownership was 10%, then, you know, his adjusted ownership is 11. Like, this 10% makes a lot more sense for this player's range of outcomes. But when this player is owned at 29%, this ownership does not make sense for his range of outcomes. And we basically want to tax that player. We want to hurt him as far as how many lineups he ends up being in your like exposures, right? And if we pull up his range of outcomes, you know, his projection is 11, but his most common outcome is about 5 points, and he has about 10, 24, 43, like 52% of his outcomes are below 10, and even less are, you know, below his average projection, right? So Builder does not love this play, and you could kind of see why, right? But it's saying it doesn't love it at this number, at this ownership. It's not saying it's a bad play, but when they're owned at this level, they're not great, right? So this gets taken into account one of two ways. Number one, it can get taken into account in Saber Score if you're on Starter, Light, Pro. If you have contest sims, this is getting taken into account through the field lineups, right? This player is owned 29% of the time. And then when we run the contest sim, when we are randomly sampling the sims, well, guess what? You know, we are pulling from this distribution pool that includes this fantasy player's outcomes, right? So this directly gets taken into effect from the contest sims that are used to generate the ROIs, the win rates, the cash rates. So you could do this by like creating a delta where it's like my own minus adjusted own, and then you get like a value for the player, and then you decide how much you want to weight that value and using that in a combination with other variables in a custom metric, that would probably be the way to do it. And I know we did a custom data example yesterday, I think. So you could do something like that, or you could just kind of trust the builder to take it into account. So whatever way you want to do it is definitely up to you, but those would be the ways I would be considering. All right. Hello. How would you adjust for Saber score on a single game using Saber Sim Starter? By default, it is set to single game, but if I wanted to adjust for contest size using Saber score, how would I go about doing that? I guess what I am wanting to do is use the contest I'm going to play in and gauge my Saber score based on that contest size to determine which lineups I want to use, if that makes sense. So the question does make sense. Now what I would say is, you know, I played a lot of Showdown, and I played, you know, single entry Showdown, you know, multi-field, whatever it is. It is highly likely that you are going to need the optimal lineup in any Showdown contest that you play, probably over like 1,000 entries. The difference that comes up for me is that the bigger the contest, the more duped the lineup is. The smaller the contest, the less duped the lineup is. But, you know, I will see the same lineup, you know, win a $5 single entry that also won, you know, like the $1 20 max, right? And the difference is, like, the $1 20 max lineup is duped, you know, 20 times, and the single entry, you know, $5 duped like 3 times, right? So I don't know if there's a lot you can do in terms of Saber score to account for like your contest size, right? Because Saber score is made up of 3 variables. Let me go to single game. Let's pull it up. So it's made up of sim optimals, which is how many times the lineups that were built were the best lineup possible in the sims upon lineup creation. It has a floor value for average projection, and then it has a negative weight on average adjusted ownership. Now, so you're getting 3 factors. You're getting, you know, likelihood of the lineup being optimal, which is important. You're getting a floor value, trying to, you know, account for like cashing percent, things like that. And then you have an ownership fade, basically, with this negative weight on average adjusted ownership, taking into account that range of outcomes for the players as well, right? With the adjusted ownership part. So as far as what you can do for the contest size and you're on starter, what I would be looking into is probably geometric mean. So you go to our help docs. We have a video here. If you go to geometric, how do ownership product and ownership geometric mean work? This is the ability to account for contest size on any size slate. And you could do it via a rule. If you're on SaberSim Starter, you go to rule type, you go to aggregate, follow the steps in the video, and you're going to end up setting up some type of rule that looks like this. My own geometric. That'll allow you to account for the specific size of your contest, regardless of your plan. Right. So I would be looking into something like that to limit duplication, but you're going to have to use that in combination with Saber score. You're not going to be able to alter Saber score. So I would be using single game Saber score, and I would be using a geometric mean rule to account for contest size. All right. Next question. Is there also a way to randomly fill, but using, let's say, the top 500 lineups based on ROI? Yeah, you should be able to do this, right? There was a short period of time where you could not do this, but you should be able to. So let's say tonight, right? I have some entries here, so let's grab these. So I'm playing 10 lineups in this contest here, right? So let's go to this build one. Now, let's say that I am okay playing any of the top 100 lineups. So what I would do is I would set my lineups to 100. I would switch the fill method here to unique random. And then I would turn off automatically update number of lineups. And then that's going to change it back to 100. And then now when I click save, it is randomly going to take 10 of the 100 lineups and put those 10 into my entries, right? So it could be any 10 from these 100. But I think the important thing here is to go down to automatically update number of lineups and turn that toggle off. All right, next question. If I set a filter on my lineups to show lineups with contest sim target ROI greater than zero, does that trash the lineup if its ROI is less than zero for any contest? Another way to say it, if lineup A is plus ROI on 150 MME, but also negative ROI in a single entry, does the lineup get trashed entirely or only for the negative ROI contest? Okay, good question. So this one, it depends, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. So hold on. It depends if two things. It depends if you're in direct fill versus autofill. That's the first thing it depends on. So the reason for that is because in autofill, if I had more than one contest, what we do is we uncheck all the contests when you click save. We select the first contest. We apply the rank by method. We apply any uniques, any max exposures, minimum exposures, lineup filters, whatever you do. And then we fill the lineups according to those specific things. We uncheck that contest and then we move on to contest two. So what would happen in autofill is because it's only looking at one contest, it's only going to do the ROI for that contest. So even if it's negative ROI for a different contest, it doesn't matter. It's only looking at one contest at a time. Now, if you are in direct fill, and let's say you had two contests, right? You had a multi-entry and then you had a single entry. And they're both selected at the same time in this dropdown. What we do is we take the average ROI of those contests, and then we use that to grade the lineups for sorting purposes, for filtering purposes. So if your lineup was 10% positive ROI in 150 max, but negative 50% ROI in a single entry, well, the average is going to end up being negative, and that lineup would get removed. So if you're in direct fill and you want to have the effect that you're describing, what you would need to do is click this dropdown and unselect the contest and just select one at a time and then go down the list. And then when you get out of this window, after updating, you're going to see the lineups kind of refresh and it's going to resort them based on the new contests that are selected if there are any target metrics being used, sorting, lineup filters, aggregate metrics, etc. So those are the big key things to pay attention to. Second question, does changing the My Own column from one sim to another using the gear icon, flagship single entry to low stakes MME, impact anything regarding contest sims or lineup building? Good question. So the two things you specifically mentioned, contest sims and lineup building, the answer is no. What it does affect is some ownership or geo mean calculations, or it has an effect on Sabre score, right? Because if I change a player's ownership and Joe Mixon goes from 26% to 40%, well, that's going to impact his adjusted ownership like we showed earlier. And because adjusted ownership is an input to the Sabre score formula, that will affect the Sabre score values of the players. But as far as contest sims and lineup building go, the answer is no. Ownership is not taken into account in the lineup building process. It is only used after lineups are built. All right, next question. For tonight's NBA slate, With only four games, my entries on FanDuel are about 350. If I don't want that many unique lineups for a small slate, what is the best way to do this in SaberSim while taking advantage of autofill and the contest sim ROIs? So what I would probably do is I would just use rank fill. So let's say that, you know, you're in FanDuel, right? You're using autofill. You have a bunch of lineups or a bunch of contests. When you switch your fill method to rank, rank will allow a lineup to be used in more than one contest if that lineup grades out well. Now, it is likely if, you know, it's a four-game slate, you're playing, you know, 350 entries, there are going to be some lineups that do grade out well enough to go into multiple contests. So I would be using the rank option. You'll end up with less uniques than you have entries, and that should have the effect that you're looking for. All right, next question. Hi, what do you think are some of the... Okay, we actually answered this one. So this one came in a couple different ways, so we did answer it earlier. Cool. So that is our first round of questions here. And let's go back to office hours. All right, so we have two more questions here. Let's get these in the queue. First question, I know you guys recommend doing different builds for 20 max to 150 single entry and 3 max, but it will also be good to do a different build for satellites for NFL, and how will that work for late swap? So I just want to be clear. You don't have to do this, right? It is something you can do. I personally don't do it because I have access to the contest sims, and I know that the contest sims and autofill are working on a contest by contest basis. So I don't feel the need to do this. That being said, you know, you can do this, especially if you're using min and max exposures, right? That's one thing to be aware of, that if you have min and max exposures, those are going to have a very big impact on your single entries if you are using autofill. So that's something to take into account. Now, I don't think it's necessary to do a different build for satellites specifically. I think the more important thing is to be, I know Sammy's on Ultimate here who asked this question. So what I would be doing is setting up my sims for satellites, right? So when you bring in your entry file, make sure you set up sims for those contests, right? So this can go a couple different ways. You know, I'll tell you guys how I handle this because it is a little bit tricky sometimes. And it gets pretty nuanced, right? So let me see here. So let's go to today. And we'll go to today's NBA slate from FanDuel. Grab an entry file. Okay, so this is everything I'm playing today on FanDuel, right? So when I scroll down here, you see I have a ton of satellites, right? So I've done this a couple different ways. I've done it where I go in and actually fill all the information out, which is incredibly, incredibly time consuming. That is obviously most optimal, but you know, there are time constraints that lead to that. I've done this where I have created a standard contest sim for all of these. And I've just done like, hey, you know, 200 entries, 100% to first, 0.5 cash percent. That's something I messed around with too. What I've ultimately settled on recently is a single alternate satellite contest sim, a manual one that just says satellite, you know, I'll just name it. Field lineups, winner take all, contest size 200, present first 100, entries paid 0.5, and I'll just put one entry, right? Now, the reason I've decided to do it like this is because running an additional like 40 contest sims is really, really time intensive. And it was affecting my ability to get my contest sim done and get my lineups in with the latest and greatest information in really small periods of time. So doing it with the manual leads to less contest sims overall. And what I end up having to do is I have to manually change the sorting metrics in the rank, in the autofill section. So like if we go back to the Houston one, right? So like I have to come into autofill and I have to set the rank by up to be the specific alternate contest sim, or I have to do it backwards where I use the master sort on the manual contest sim and then I go and change all the rank buys to target afterwards for the contests that do have a contest sim by default. So that part can be time consuming, but you only have to do that once in the pre-build and you only have to do that once in the post-build, because it will save those selections for upcoming swaps if you continue to use the same swap window. So I only need to set it up once and I might run like 5 swaps in a night. That seems better than me not setting it up once in the contest tab, but it taking a long time to finish over the night. So basically what I'm saying is I run everything together, but then I set up the different contest sims for your satellites, your GPPs, you know, your single entries. Some of those are done by default, but I'm also not using any Minimax exposures either. So that's like another consideration, right? I don't use those at all. So you got to figure out what works best for you. But all I can really tell you guys is what I do and what works for me. So, you know, you could also like bounce ideas off of other people in the Discord, but this is what I found works the best for me. And I'm playing like a ton of satellites tonight. All right, next question. I know that my own being used for building lineups, but if I will just to use adjusted own instead, what would be the way to do so if possible? So what you would basically have to do, hold on. All right, sorry about that. So basically what he's saying is like, I want to use adjusted own. I'm not sure what you want to use adjusted own for. Since you're on contest sims, like, are you saying you want to build a custom set of field lineups using adjusted ownership? You could, right? Basically what you would do is you would go to a new build, you would download the CSV, and then you would go to upload, and then you would upload the CSV that we just downloaded, and then you would switch my own ownership to adjusted ownership column, and you would make the adjusted ownership column the ownership, and then you would save that, and then I would, you know, go in and I might have clicked something wrong, but then afterwards I would go in and then use match exposure to ownership for those new values that I've uploaded, right? And then create a custom field. Now, the reason I wouldn't suggest doing this is because adjusted ownership is not supposed to be indicative of the rates that the players are going to be played at, right? That's what my own is, or that's what SS own is, or flagship MME, or whatever source you're using. Adjusted ownership is a different metric, a different calculation, right? So I can't advise doing this, but if you wanted to do it, you would upload the adjusted ownership into the ownership column, use match exposure to ownership, build lineups, and then basically name this build, you know, your field. So I'm going to say my field or whatever you want it to be. and then go to the contest tab and then change the field lineup drop down to a build that has lineups in it. So this my field isn't there because it doesn't have lineups, but if it did have lineups, then it would be possible to change it here. So then you would change it. You would go back to your other build with lineups that you are simming against the my field lineups and then run it there. So that is how you would do it. All right. RB1 Smitty said, hey, Andrew, I know you play a lot of Showdown. Which customizations, if any, do you recommend for my plan, sorting, rules, metrics, etc.? Thank you. Yeah, for sure. There is a build review. Gosh, I don't know which one it is. Maybe I could find it. I did a contest flashback on myself, reviewing all of my lineups and talking about my Showdown process and what it looks like. Let me see if I could find that and I will send it to you. But I basically went, you know, like you said, I play every Showdown on the weekends. I prioritize those and I walked through my Showdown process and my results and looking at them like over and over. So let me see if I can find that video and I will tag you in it in the Office Hours channel. All right. Good stuff so far. Looks like we're caught up here. So I have a note to find that video and send it to RB1 Smitty. But a lot of good questions today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back here Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for Office Hours. I will not be here tomorrow. I will be at the Dodgers Celebration Parade. But until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I will see you then.